Okay, thank you everyone for coming to the October Ordinary Council meeting. Open the meeting at 5:30 and item two, acknowledgement of traditional owners. I'll acknowledge the traditional custodians, the Gariyada people, and recognise the contribution of Gariyada elders past, present and future in working together with the future of Port Hedland. Thanks for coming, everyone.
Thank you.
Item three, recordance of attendance as listed. 3.2, apologies, there are nil. 3.3, approved leave of absence, there is nil. 3.4, disclosures of interest. Councillors, do I have any disclosures?
No. I would like to declare an interest disclosure in item 16.1, which is a confidential item, on the Port Hedland Dust Management Task Force that would be of financial interest.
Yes, likewise, 16.1 in reference to the confidential item, the dust management as a financial interest.
Same. Have a financial interest in 16.1.
Councillor Whitlow. Item four, response to previous questions. 4.1, response to questions taken on notice from public at ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday, the 28th of September 2016. 4.11, Mr. John Peters. Answer is as listed. 4.2, response to questions taken on notice from elected members at ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday, the 28th of September 2016. There are nil. Item 5, applications for leave of absence.
Councillors?
No,
thank you.
There is nil. Item 6, attendance by telephone instantaneous communications. Councillors? Item 7, public time. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for your recording, your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is reminded that in accordance with Section 616 of the Port Hedland local standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. Members of the public are also reminded that in accordance with section 6174, the Town of Port Hedland local standing orders, mobile telephones must be switched off and not used during the meeting. In accordance with section 6.73 of the Town of Port Hedland local standing orders, members of the public are required to complete a question form and place the completed form on the tray provided. So members of the public, if you want to use your iPads or phones to run through the agenda, I have no problem with that. 7.1, public question time. Open public question time at 5:34. Do I have any questions from the public? Yes. Come up and state your name for the tape.
My name is Jim Henneberry. I'm a local businessman. First of all, my name is a property man. I've been in real estate since 1980. But firstly, I'd like to congratulate the council on the great achievement is brought through this week in the Swan Bank. Well done for your tenacity and courage there. You're to be complimented. Thank you. I hate to see people's property rights being diminished or taken from them without any corresponding benefits, and whether that be in the way of cash or rezoning benefits. And years ago, a dust task force was set up, and people were set up. They were made recommendations that scare governments and councils based on health issues. wanting to do the right thing, in 2011, we adopted Amendment 22 and its planning policies purely as a precautionary move pending a HRA report.
Mr. Henderbury?
Yes, sir.
Is that a statement or is it a question?
Just get into a question.
Okay, that's fine. No worries.
Thank you. The proposed initiation of the draft West End local planning policies, I think it relates to issue 12 on your agenda. Question one, will the council, in respect to town planning scheme number 5, repeal and remove amendment 22, together with its design criteria, so that the West End may again become a deconstrained residential area? And question two, will the council take the lead position on ensuring we have independent dust monitoring and assist the Pilbara Ports Authority and the Department of Environment Regulations in policing and enforcing regulations? Those are my two questions, actually.
Okay. Mr. Henderbury, I think we might take those questions on notice because we will be discussing that further later tonight in a confidential item. So we'll get those answers to you. As soon as we can. Thank you. Do I have any public, any other public questions?
John Peters, Marketing Co. My question is with reference to agenda item 12.2.1. What the council is doing to safeguard its residents at west end of the town who are being exposed to dust. In spite of 2009 report by Environment Protection Authority concerned that the particulate matter 10 exceeded the standard of measurement of 50 milligrams per cube, and it has reached to almost 70 milligrams per cube. Why did council did not do anything to stop this?
Mr. Peters, we've withdrawn that item from tonight's agenda and
withdrawn it,
that's right. But we will take that question on notice and get you an answer for that.
No, because it's going on from the, this report is from 2009. So the thing is, the people living at the west end of the town, they are suffering and there's health consequences to it.
And the council is fully aware of that and in full support of the people in the West End. And we'll be discussing that further and we'll be getting you an answer in that in due course.
And second question is, there's properties coming up for sale, that is commercial activities going on the West End. And it has come to, I want to council notice as well that one of there are about 16 apartments, and they almost were sold for less than $20,000. So what council is doing about all these things, where properties are fluctuating further and they are still encouraging commercial activities?
Well, Mr. Peters, commercial sales of property, whether they be private or commercial, really has nothing to do with the local government. But I'll pass it on if you would like to answer further.
Acton? Through the chair, just to add briefly that it's very difficult for like going to register the real estate business. We are doing everything we can to work with the state government, which obviously are leading the review of the Dust Task Force findings. And like the acting mayor stated, we will be having a discussion on that item tonight. And a confidential item.
Yeah, my last question is, the business confidence is at lowest ever, and what is council taking up the dust issue with the Pilbara Port Authority?
I didn't catch the first part of that. The business confidence is
at its lowest.
Lowest.
Yeah, because of dust issues. So are you taking up this issue with the Pilbara Port Authority?
We are discussing all options with all agencies, and we'll be ensuring that our residents across Headland are well supported through council.
Thank you.
Do we have any other public questions? Close public question time at 5:40. Open public statement time at 5:40. Do I have any public statements? Yes.
For those who don't know me, my name's Darryl Brown. I'm a business proprietor.
Could I have your address?
A local landowner of downtown West End. I live at 10 Richardson Street.
Mr. Brown, could you just state your address for the tape?
For the tape, 10 Richardson Street, whatever.
Thanks, mate.
Well, I'm a relatively newcomer to this town that I call home. I came in 1964, pre-iron ore. Back then, we had here a wonderful lifestyle. Absolutely wonderful. In the last 50 years, every city and town in Australia have benefited from the iron ore boom, except us idiots that stayed here in Port Hedland. We lost our way of life. We lost our wonderful harbour. And to cap it all off, for the last 50-odd years, we've been covered in iron ore dust. The 70s, 80s and 90s, it was heavily laced with asbestos. Now, if you think these mining companies are telling the truth, I tried to get it analysed back in the 90s, I think, the late 80s and 90s. I couldn't find a company in Australia that would analyse Port Hedland's iron ore dust. Not one. The companies kept saying it'll be fixed. There's no dust in Port Hedland. Or Port Hedland's just a naturally dusty place. Well, it wasn't. Then came the dust report, Amendment 22, all to do with getting rid of us people downtown. All to do with getting rid of us people downtown. For little or nothing. Just for the larger profits of the multinationals. And they're only multinationals. None of them are Australian companies. So don't say, you know, the great biggest drug. They're all multinationals. Well, clean air is a right, people. A right, not a privilege. Believe me, it is a right. Shouldn't the multinationals clean up their act like they had in Esperance? Esperance ship iron ore, lower grade, smaller operation, twice the distance, and they're still making money. All the coal mines in Queensland have had to clean up their act. There's no dust in their towns, only here in Port Hedland. Wonderful Port Hedland. I think to start with, monitoring, the dust monitoring, right? I'm a member of the Carnarvon Yacht Club. With this phone, I can go, right? The gate opens and I can let a car go in and out of Carnarvon from here in Port Hedland. I talk to the government agencies and they say, there is no dust in Port Hedland. We can see real live time monitoring. Of course they can, but there's a a fan that comes, takes the air through their monitors and out. And if you don't think that these mining companies aren't saying, oh, a bit dusty going that way, turn the fan off. Everybody sees wonderful clean air going through. There is no air, so there is no dust monitoring. The mining companies should not have a thing to do with any monitoring. It should be done independently, and I would suggest you people at the shop. I urge a strong, united council to take up a fight that my mother started nearly 50 years ago. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Do we have any other public statements?
My name is Mary Atwood. I'm 111 Anderson Street, Port England. I'm going to refer to the West End Planning Policy, section item number 12.2. I am a descendant of Tommy Anderson, an Aboriginal elder and apical on the native title claim in the Pilbara, in the land that surrounds Port Hedland and extends inland. I have lived in Port Hedland with my siblings and extended family all my life. Our family is currently registered on the Kuriana Native Title Claim, and more recently, following a challenge by the state government, we were successful in retaining our status as respondents on all the Kuriana claims. As a respondent to the claims, our family members, six in all, have legal standing to sue or object to any proceedings relating to this area. Impact on dust in the Port Hedland Report 2010. This report was completed by an interagency task force with the WA Health Department being the key member. Recommendations in the report were as follows. Vulnerable individuals, number one, vulnerable individuals should preferably not reside permanently in the west end of Port Hedland, as they are at the greatest risk of developing both short-term and long-term health effects. Number two, permanent residents in the west end can act to reduce their personal exposure by keeping doors and windows shut and air conditioners well serviced. Number three, the public health exposure reduction strategies include short-term occupancy by fly-in and fly-out personnel, commercial travellers and tourists. High and commercial developments such as business centres, shops, cafes, restaurants, hotels and holiday apartments. Town planning design and construction methods that commercial properties or premises are maintained to the standards needed to limit dust infiltration. Following the receipt of the report, the Port Hedland Town Council passed the Amendment 22. The impact of Amendment 22. As a result of the amendment to the town planning scheme and introduction of Amendment 22, the West End had been totally deserted by public sector. The long-term residents living in the area have found it difficult to sell their properties, resulting in BHP buying all houses in the area, which they have cleared and are now sitting vacant. As a property owner and ratepayer, living in the affected area where I have lived for over 50 years, I feel that the council have abrogated its responsibilities to protect and service the ratepayers and the community by making the amendment, which infringed on our property rights. the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 2. This is international human rights, Article number 2. No one shall be subjected to arbitrary interference with his private privacy, family, home, or correspondence, nor attacked by his honour, of his honour or reputation. Everyone has the right to protect of the protection of the law, such as interference or attacks. Article 17 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights states, everybody has the right to his own property and alone associated with others. No one shall be arbitrarily deprived of his property. Those two articles are in international law. And I think people need to understand that we've been isolated for too long in Australia, but now information is flowing. And there is already, oh, this is not on the paper, so there are already High Court decisions about property rights and about the fact that there has been infringement of environmental implications as a result of decisions made by both government and local laws. So people, you need to think very clearly about tonight, because we, as a native title holder, and now that we've got additional power as a respondent, we will be fighting against what we believe is impacts by the mining companies who aren't taking on their responsibility to clean up the dust and allow us to live as we did 50 years ago, because they should have done it from day dot.
Thank you, Mrs. Atwood.
You want to answer? I don't need to answer, because
I said thank you, Mrs. Atwood.
I'm just making a statement from me and my family.
Yes, this is in reference to, John Peters, one can include. This is regarding item 12.2.5, proposed initiation of Northwest and local planning policy. On behalf of the Port Hedland Ratepayers Association, our member seek the councillor's support tonight to quash the item 12.2.1, proposed initiation of the draft West End local planning policy, and instead hold community consultation session with the residents and homeowners of the West End about what they want to live next to and how many dwellings they want and should be able to build on their land. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peters. Do we have any other public statements? Yes.
Jim Henneberry, 51 Kingsmill, Port Hedland. I did a bit of research and went and saw Anil Kada, who was the president of the council back in 2011 when the Amendment 22 was adopted that evening. And he said, Jim, there was a concern that there might be a health risk, and any responsible council or government would have put in precautions. And that Amendment 22 was brought in purely as a precautionary measure pending a health assessment. He said, none of us ever thought that it would take 6 years for it to come out. And also, the recommendations of the Dust Task Force on that report have not been shared with the members of the public here in the 6 or 8 months that it's been released, or not released, given to the government. If there are health risks in the area, potential health risks, there are usually protocols that follow. Firstly, you mitigate the risk and pursue those who are causing the pollution. Second, you continually monitor, and that should be done by independent people. And three, you place notifications on the certificate of titles, warning people in those areas. So people who choose to live permanently on those properties do so at their own choice. And we do this in Mandurah, where there's a mosquito risk, and it's on the title. So if you choose to live in the Mandurah Marina, you can. I have seen state governments create special redevelopment zones, and East Perth is an example. And I'll be asking council to repeal Amendment 22, but put in place of it a special redevelopment zone and consult with the owners that live in the West End. Open it up to just more than one and two bedrooms, because you're going to end up with what you call a TWA up here. This whole area and the proposed extension of it is just going to be one and two bedroom units. And that is a restriction on these landowners here. This area should be opened up to individual homes, high rise, hotels, sports stadiums, shopping centres. And that's why I move these motions for council tonight to consider. I know it's off the agenda now, I don't know why, but I trust you to do the right thing for us all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hendlebury. Do we have any other public statements? Yes.
Roger Higgins, Post Office Box 189, Port Hedland. Councillors, amongst your agenda papers tonight, some design guidance. They're on page 53 and page 57. Now, I didn't come here with the intention to make a statement tonight, but I read this really for the first time. And I'm not sure how many of you have read them, but my immediate reaction is, what nonsense. Let me give you an example, page 53. It says in the first paragraph, talking about method to limit exposure to elevated dust levels in the West End. It then goes on to propose a filtration system for buildings. Now, all buildings in Port Hedland, irrespective of where you live, are subject to dust. If you look at that filtration system that's there on that page, it's pretty complex and no doubt will be very expensive to install. Without the iron ore industry here, the level of dust that we have over the West End, there is no doubt, would be significantly less. The first question that comes out of this is, do the producers of the iron ore dust themselves have filtration systems in their working premises like is proposed here? Now, these are design guidelines for the building of houses. It adds significant cost to anyone that is going to build in the West End to actually have to include this. So the challenge I put to you is, how can you, in relation to people that live along Kingswell and in that area, compel them to have extra cost in their building construction when at the site where the dust is produced in the workplace, you have not the same requirements there? If you turn the page and go on to 55, it says on page 55, according to Health Risk Assessment 2016, the predominant wind direction is typically from the southeast, the south and the southeast on days when dust levels were elevated. If you turn the page and go on to page 56, it then says, limiting openings to the north and western building facades can provide a basis to limit penetration of dust in the buildings. Now, common sense would tell me that if you've got dust coming from that direction, you shut your window to stop the dust getting in. That's common sense. What you've got here in the documentation that you've been given, and this is why I'm challenging you now, because you need to start to question some of the stuff that's produced and given to you in your agenda items. This is saying, well, our predominant wind it is from the south and southeast on a day when the dust levels were elevated. And they're saying, oh no, what you need to do on page 56 is limit openings to the north and western building facades that can provide a basis to limit penetration of dust into the building. Well, what errant nonsense is that? So if it's coming from the southwest, you shut your windows and doors, face the sea. The problem you've got in Kingsmill is that your seaward view is to the north and to the west. And if this is true, what's in here? And now you've got to question the accuracy of some of this stuff. Why on earth would you prevent people building along Kingsmill having a balcony that we can go out to at night time, sit and enjoy the breeze, which predominantly comes off the northern side, off the seaward side, the direction from which this document tells us the predominant dust does not come. So I just challenge you tonight to have a real think about what you're going to be discussing when it comes to Amendment 22, because I think a lot of this stuff has never been challenged before. It needs to be challenged now, and you people are the ones that need to stand up and talk.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
Knocks down our houses, why they cannot take that and change it back. Like the new councillors, see if you can push to change it back since the old councillors decided to make that amendment so that if our house gets knocked over or 75% damaged, we cannot rebuild. How fair is that when all these flats have been allowed to be built? And we were there long before the mining company. And also, the other thing is, if it's so toxic, why are the workers not tested and why aren't they testing our houses? I don't believe it's toxic, but I do believe the dust is a huge problem now. Nelson Point was the problem, but we could live with it. What they're doing now is almost impossible. But who's going to be able to sell now? And if we want to live there, what's going to happen with rentals or anything like that? I just hope that the new councillors can actually reverse that so that we have a right to actually stay there and rebuild our house if it's knocked over. Hopefully. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Jacoby. Do you have any other public statements? Okay, I'll close public statement time at 6:01. Move on to 7.3, petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. 7.3.1, Town of Port Hedland rates incentive draw.
So we're doing that a little bit different this year. Saving on paper that we have to post out, print and so on. So the way that ratepayers could enter into the competition is simply by paying their rates in full. And the draw is system generated, so everything that has been registered as fully paid on Synergy, which is what we use to, which is our rate system, has been entered into the draw. So we just click a button and the number will show up.
Can I just ask a question on that?
Yeah.
In the past, councillors were not allowed to be participating in it.
Yeah.
How do you exempt, how do you take my name out of the system?
Yeah, it will show up who is the winner.
Yep.
So it will give you an assessment number which relates to their property. And then also the name of the owner of the property. And then when that name comes up, we can say that we that this person is eligible to enter, we will run the
meeting.
Same with the another condition is that a ratepayer can only enter once. So if they have seven properties, they can only win once for one of their properties. So if that is the case, then we'll also rerun it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. You can see here I've entered the start date, the 1st of July 2016, because some people like to make prepayments. So as soon as the financial year starts, they might want to pay their rates, although we haven't actually issued the rates. And the due date this year was the 17th of October 2016, so you can see that entered here. So this is the wonderful program that we're using, so pretty much just start. So the first one is going to be Rise in Power.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is it?
What's the ruling on that?
Is it?
It's not a residential, is it?
It is a residential.
Is it? Is it residential?
What is that in the chair version?
That's the conditions, right?
You mean it's owned by
Rise and
Power?
Yeah, it's got a tenant, one of their workers in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes, I think this one. We have five times $500. Next one is Gavin, Raymond, Malcolm for 12 Edwards Way.
Gavin,
yeah. You're at one.
Next one is Telstra. They do have quite a number of properties, which is probably why they can come up. Jessica Peter Ellis. And Robert Gregory Patton. So it's usually practice that we do an extra five so we can check the accounts again, make sure that these receipts that we have receipted against the accounts are actually for the correct accounts, so we double check the receipts. So we usually do another five just as a backup in case one of the first five doesn't come good, and then we will move the next ones up. So we'll just do the next slide as well. The Port Authority. Giselle Jones.
Okay, thanks.
A state government property for the Australian Customs. And the last one, VIP again, which is, so we have to select that one because we already had them. Harry Roberts.
Very exciting. Thank you, winners. Okay, item 8, a question from members without notice. Councillor Gillingham.
Yes, just thank you, Acting Mayor. Regarding an email which all of us councillors received from Linda Dorrington from Form a number of weeks ago regarding all the medium strip gardens down in the Wedge Street area. And that she felt as if they weren't being looked after. They do a lot of work, as you know, for the visitor centre and the also the gallery. I just want to know if there's anything more being done to sort of help beautify our gardens downtown. I know we're talking about dust issues at the moment, but I still think that we should still be able to maintain these gardens at a really good standard. So I'm happy to take that on notice.
That's all right. We can answer that, Acting CEO.
Thank you, and through the chair. We obviously have a regular maintenance program around the West End and Wedge Street. We have had some issues recently with the retic system, which has caused some of the decline that we've seen, and we've been doing, spending a bit of time identifying the problem and fixing the retic system. So the unfortunate issue was lack of water and some of the ground cover deteriorating.
Okay, just to add to that, if I may, it didn't look as if the gardens had been tended at all. They were quite scruffy, actually, so I just haven't been down there in the last week, or since the markets, actually, on the other evening. So just, like, if it could be looked at, that would be really good. Thank you.
Yeah, through the chair, absolutely. I did notice there were a few tufts of grass coming between a couple of favours myself, so, yeah, we'll ensure that the crews are... outside of the garden sites and the weeds as well.
All right, good on you. Thank you. One more, if I may. I did ask a number of weeks ago about the mosaic sign at the airport on the gates there, and which had been put up after they had fixed up, you know, put all the new walls. I noticed the mosaic has gone, and has it now been shifted somewhere else? Is it on display? Has it gone to the Historical Society? Has anything come back about that? There are new signs saying Port Hedland International Airport on both sides of the gate as you drive in. So I just wonder if we could just keep a check on it. It's not just been put in a shed somewhere for the future.
Councillor Gillingham, my understanding is the Historical Society has taken that.
Great.
Is that correct?
That's the case.
Through the chair, that was my understanding. There was an interest in the Historical Society. The airport had been connected.
But
the response, obviously, back last meeting, I think it was, where we provided that response that we had had discussions with the airport, and the airport had had a discussion, I think, with the Historical Society.
Councillor Arif, is that correct?
There's two members of the Historical Society around the table here, and the Vice President, I know nothing about it.
Acting CEO, can we get some clarification on that and get an answer back to council? Thank you.
Yeah, and also to do with the airport, any more news of the replica plane being installed in the future, near future? The replica plane of Sir Charles Kingsley Smith, which was purchased a number of years ago.
Through the chair, that is part of the consideration within the master plan. There is a site. I do know that they were trying to do that before the master plan was had to be waited and delivered. So we are obviously in touch with the airport quite regularly. We can just follow up on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. All right, that's all. Thank you very much.
Can I just clarify a little bit more on that plane? Is that the plane that was at the airport that was sitting there for years and years?
Through the chair, that is the one that's been in the shed for a while. So it's a, it was a half replica of the Spirit of Australia.
I know Arnold Carter would know a lot more about it.
And through the chair, I know that Mr. Carter has asked to raise that with the airport consultative group as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Hooper.
Thank you.
Councillor Arif.
Nothing, thank you.
Councillor Melville.
Nothing, thank you.
Councillor Newbury.
Yeah, just a concerning fact. I went downtown early this morning to fuel up, and I fuel up at the little BP station. And Ethan that runs it there just wanted to acknowledge that he'd had the ABC there yesterday, not asking if they could take pictures, and took pictures of cars that had been sitting there for 5 years to put it on the news, that this was our dust issue. I would just really like to say that I'm very disappointed in ABC in not putting the truth, that those cars have been sitting there for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I just, somehow, if we could express that back somehow, that the truth need to be told.
Councillor Newbury, my understanding is that's public property, and if the ABC want to film it, I'm sure that they can film it.
Right, is there somehow that we can put it out the truth, put the same pictures, and you know, these cars have been sitting here 4 or 5 years. This is not the dust issue downtown.
Okay, I don't have any problem with the ABC filming it, so unless acting, do you want to do something about it?
Through the chair, as part of our media responses, we can outline some of the time, maybe those the article represented wasn't quite accurate, and those cars have been there for a much longer period, not just overnight. As part of our wider maybe media response to the dust issue and moving to the future.
Okay. Anything further, Councillor Newman?
No, thank you.
Councillor Whitworth?
No.
Councillor Tarver?
Just we've had an agenda item removed from tonight. Do we know why?
Acting CEO.
Yes, I pulled it from the agenda based on the discussions that had been brought up around it through question time at the Wednesday agenda briefing. There was a lot of questions from the community around the item. There was a lot of questions around the table. I thought that the item would benefit from some more further discussion at a concept forum and then be represented to council with some more in-depth discussion prior to being considered by council. That's why it was removed from tonight's agenda.
Is there, just adding further to that, is there any plan to amend it?
So, through the chair, we obviously have a planning scheme. The planning scheme, which now includes what was Amendment 22, is actually now part of the planning scheme. Part of our requirements within our scheme is to develop a policy. So we have to comply with our planning scheme. So we are also putting it up as a draft for community engagement, because we really want to hear what the community wants to say about it, which also gives the a requirement from the Department of Planning to make a response to the issues of dust, which we have struggled to get from them. So it's also, while it's some work that we are required to do, it's also a great opportunity for the community to express their frustration, anger, or other emotions they may have in regards to what that restriction does to personal property values, to rights and enjoyment of property, before that is even becomes an actual policy, or if it ever becomes a policy of council.
OK, can we just make sure we've had some good statements tonight from the public, that we take them into account when we're reviewing the policy?
Through the chair, so the policy has, the draft policy hasn't been reviewed. It's actually an element of the scheme. One of the things that we have endeavoured to do over the last few months is to get direction from the Department of Planning of how they would like us to address the West End, which has been, well, to say it's fallen silent ears is polite. This is one way that we will get a comment from the Department of Planning. It is, like I've mentioned before, it is a requirement for us to undertake this work to be compliant with our own scheme. But that's not to say down the track, when we get into potentially an LPS or local planning scheme 6, we can address or redress some of the issues that we currently now face as an organisation with LPS 5.
Okay.
Is the planning policy, when it comes to council for that concept forum, are the public going to be able to attend at that stage, or are we going to allow that, or so they can be informed as well at the same time?
So through the chair, it was presented back as a concept forum for elected members. Obviously, there is an opportunity to agenda briefings to have public involved in that also. After the concept forum, if the council would like us to potentially just undertake a public workshop. We don't have any issues with doing that. We have no fear about feedback. At the end of the day, we are in a position where, as an administration, as an organisation, we actually still have to comply with our own scheme, and we have to obviously undertake the process of this work, whether it is ended up as a final outcome, Amendment 22 is already set in the scheme for us, is still yet to be determined.
Thank you. Item 9, declarations of all members that to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper before the meeting. Could I show of hands, please?
Except for myself, the summary of the North West lead item, which I've just received from the Pigeonhole. I apologise if it was on the email and I've missed, possibly would have missed it.
Item 10, confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. 10.1, confirmation of minutes of ordinary council meeting held on the Wednesday, 28th of September, 2016. Officers, recommendation and a simple majority vote. Do I have a mover? Moved Councillor Arif. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Whitwell. Do I have any against? Motion passed 8-0. Item 11, announcements by presiding member without discussion. I'd just like to say, it's off the cuff by the way, I haven't prepared anything, but it's great to see the state government giving us the funding for the marina, and clearly $152 million development on our foreshore, it will be pretty hypocritical of the state government to implement, planning restrictions over the West End when we have, a significant build about to happen on that piece of land. As well as that, the council is doing actually quite well at the moment with Marquee Park being repaired. The South Inland Swimming Pool is being repaired as well. And what is it? The boat ramp's getting done right now, so we've been working hard to make sure that all of these things happen before the next financial year. And I can assure members of the public that the council united in supporting the people of the West End and wider Headland. I believe that give them an inch and they'll take a mile, so we won't give them any inches. Item 12, Reports from officers. 12.1.1, review of ordinary council meeting schedule for 2017. Officers' recommendation on page 10. We'll have a mover in that. Moved. Councillor Urif.
I'll second.
Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? Motion's passed 8-0. Write it down so I don't forget. Okay, item 12.1.2, statement of financial activity for the period ending 30th of September 2016. Officer's recommendation on page 14. Do I have a mover in that? Moved. Councillor Urif. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Tarbo. Do I have any against? Motion is passed 8-0. So item 12.2.1, proposed initiation of the draft West End local planning policy has been withdrawn from the agenda. Item 12.3.1, Water Corporation Deed Agreement, Port Hedland International Airport. Officer's recommendation on page 59. Do I have a mover in that recommendation? Moved, Councillor Whitwell. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion's passed 8-0. Item 13, reports from committees. Audit Risk and Governance Committee minutes, 4th of October 2016, with the officer's recommendation on page 64. Do I have a mover in the officer's recommendation? Thank you, Councillor Arif. Do I have a seconder? Seconder, Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion is passed 8-0. Item 14, motions of which previous notice has been given. There is nil. Item 15, new business of an urgent nature. 15.1, Northwest Festival 2016 review and options for 2017. Officer's recommendation on page one. I would like to change the officer's recommendation and change 1A. It says audited the audited financial statement when. Change to the reviewed financial statement, not the audited. Who's going to do this?
So you'd like to
do that? Yes. I'd like some clarification on the 1A, the audited financial statements. Acting CEO.
So just through the chair, there was just a question in regards to the audited statement. As you can see with the attachments, there is an audited statement. But on top of that, there is also a review of a section of the audited statement, which is on the bar specifically. That is not an audited statement. That was a review of the bar takings. But there is also an audited statement for the event.
Do I have a mover in the officer's recommendation?
So moved.
Move Councillor O'Rourke. Second. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against?
Yes.
Speakers for, Councillor, speakers against. Speakers for, Councillor Arif. Speakers for, Councillor Gillingham. Speakers against, Councillor Blanco.
Mr. Acting Mayor, the officer's recommendation is just to note the financial statement, the survey report, the indicators, and to request the CEO to develop a report for consideration 2017. There's nothing more than that. There's nothing to argue.
Speakers for, Councillor.
Yeah, thank you. I did attend for the presentation which we had a couple of weeks ago. I just reiterate as well with Councillor Arif that, and adding to your clarification that you're asking for on point 1A, and regarding the bar sales, yes, just to make a report to come back so that we can then look further into this. Yeah, thank you.
Speakers against. So I just want to clarify that the auditor's statement, he's based on a review, and which is not an audit. That's what I read in the wording of the auditors, and my understanding is the audit scope is very very weak. From what I've read. Speakers for, speakers against, Councillor Whitworth.
Look, I'm having difficulty reading this. It's so fine a print, right? Mm. But I have read it, and it's not a. There's no audit according to Australian auditing standards in this at all, right? And therefore, there's no general statement of financial position of the organisation or the entity that we're trying to audit. So you can't really call it an audit statement. It's just nonsense.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Whitwell. Acting, I'd like to... can I just get some... Speakers for, speakers against, write a reply.
As it said, this is just to note those details as mentioned there and to request the executive officer. The auditor states at the end, in our opinion, the statement of receipts and payments for the Northwest Festival presents fairly in all material respects in accordance with receipts and payments. It's not a profit and loss statement. It's just that it is has been audited, has been presents fairly in terms of the receipts and the payments. That's it. It's just noting that. It's not a profit and loss statement. I ask that the fellow members just to accept the officer's recommendation to note that this has been received.
Okay. we'll go to a vote. Are those in favour of the officer's recommendation? Show of hands, please. Those against? The motion is passed. 5-3. Item 15.2, Port Hedland International Airport apron strengthening. The officer's recommendation on page one again. Do I have a mover in that motion? Move, Councillor Whitwell. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Arif. Any against? Motion is passed 8-0. Okay, members of the public, we are now going into confidence, so I'm going to have to ask you to leave, I'm afraid.
Thank you for attending. Okay. Thank you for attending.
Thanks for coming.
Do you need us to move that?
Okay. Councillors, can I have a mover? Move Councillor Hooper, seconded Councillor Tarbo to go into confidence. Thank you, people, for coming. I don't know how long we'll be, but you can wait outside and we'll open up when we're finished. Thanks, guys, for staying. And so Council has voted... alternate recommendation one, that respect to the confidential Port Hedland Dust Management Task Force report to government, council number one, receive the confidential report, that Port Hedland Dust Management Task Force report to government dated August 2016. Two, note the correspondence already issued by the Town of Port Hedland administration. Three, reject all recommendations provided in the confidential Port Hedland Dust Management Task Force report to government on the basis that there has been a lack of transparency shown by the state government and the Port Hedland Dust Management Task Force and no engagement with council or the community. Four, request the acting chief executive officer to engage the Minister for State Development, Minister for Planning, Minister for Health and Minister for Environment to meet with council of the town of Port Hedland and to engage with the community as a whole to redevelop the recommendations in the confidential Port Hedland Dust Management Task Force report to government. So that is the first officer's recommendation that we pass. Number two. That with respect to the referral received by the Department of State Development with respect to the application in relation to increased throughput by BHP Billiton, Council 1 received the Department of State Development referral of 4th of October 2016 in relation to BHP Billiton Iron Ore's application to upgrade certain aspects of Nelson Point infrastructure and request the Acting Chief Executive Officer to respond on the following issues, on the following basis. A, the supporting documents provided by the applicant is deficient in that no evidence has been provided regarding dust emissions and or how any mitigation will occur if there was an increase in emissions due to increased throughput. B, the town does not support intensification of port activities until such time as the port users have mitigated any potential health impacts with reduced dust emissions. C, the Department of Environmental Regulation has not completed a review of license procedures or conditions to hold port users to account for their impacts on the adjoining community. And that was passed 5-0. So, lost my spot. Excuse me. Okay. Okay, item 16. Matters for which meeting may be closed. Oh, well, we've done that. 16.1, Port Hedland Dust Management. We've done that. Item 17, closure. 17.1, date of next meeting. The ordinary council, the ordinary meeting of council will be held on the Wednesday, the 23rd of November 2016, commencing at 5:30, with the public agenda briefing being held on Wednesday, the 16th of November 2016, commencing at 5:30. So thank you everyone for coming. We'll close the meeting at 7:10.